Blog Talk Radio.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the most intriguing broadcast in America. I am, yes, Tom Farinella here. And what will we talk about today? Well, I'm going to leave some of that up to you if you call us at 347-326-9037. I'd be very happy to take your call. Put you on the air. You can help us with today's show if you want to. Well, you know, here in New York, we are undergoing a massive overhaul with the Spitz being spat right out of office. The Spitz has been spat. That would be, if I was in the media, this superb media that we have, I would say the Spitz has been spat. And he's been thrown out like yesterday's garbage, because at the end of the day, when high and mighty moral people decide to take down everybody and their mother, especially when they're Republicans, no less, too, you leave yourself wide open. And this is a guy who chose to behave in an extremely egomaniacal way. He did what he wanted, when he wanted, took down people left and right, powerful people, big people, small people, the sheriff of Wall Street. Well, guess what, sheriff of Wall Street? Mr. Spitz, you've been spat. You've been spat at by the American people of New York. Everybody sees what kind of phony you are. You're a two-bit second-rate loser. Oh, I got that off. Yeah, I've been holding off on saying that. We have in the studio now another, hold on, Legal Eagle. This is the mastermind of it all. Yeah, we have to do our own production here. Right? You got to turn the mic on. Turn the mic on. There's no headphones. Sorry, this is not an official production. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Gus Farinella. We used to do a talk show way back when. I think I was about 14 years old, I think. I was in high school. Barely wet behind the ears. You just speak right into it. Can you hear it?
Yeah, hello, Tom. How are you?
Oh, yeah, there you go. You're up there.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
This is quite an honor.
Yeah, there you are. Okay, good.
I'm not used to doing radio without a headset, though.
You know what? I have to find...
you want me to run out to Staples and run
back? Well, this is...
I need to go to Staples and tell them I'm in the middle of a radio shutdown on the block. They're waiting for me.
I know, but the problem is we only have 56 minutes live remaining.
Do we have any listeners?
I don't know, but they could call us, though.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah. It's being uploaded to my profile and everything else. 347-326-9037. I have a whole wait call thing here. All the years I've been in radio,
I used to sit in Bob Grant's chair at WOR.
Yeah.
And I used to sit with Tom Rivers.
Look, it's a real screen.
It's like a board.
If people actually called in, I'd have fun with this, you know?
Can we get somebody to call in?
We have to pay some people.
We have to pay people. We used to have to do that in old days.
Oh, yeah.
We used to be on WOR in the middle of the night, at midnight on Sunday nights. We used to do a live radio show. And it was good. It was called No Legal Rights, and we did well.
An hour.
And at that time, I'm trying to think at that time, who this, we had a scandal that broke in Brooklyn, remember, in the court system out there, and there was a big, powerful trustee.
Oh, yeah.
Stewie Gelberg. And Mr. Gelberg was accused of receiving a sexual act in the United States trustee's office, on government property, from one of his debtors. He was a bankruptcy trustee, for those of you who are not familiar. It's Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 type bankruptcy.
Well, most people are these days now.
Well, no, most people these days know what bankruptcy is. But, the, you know, at that time, the big sex scandal, at least for us locally, was Stewie Gelberg. And I can't help but think, you know, he was caught by some of the guys down there in the court in the system. They saw him getting fellatio from a lovely young lady who was a debtor.
He was on government. Wasn't he not on government property?
Well, the thing with him was, yeah, he was on government property, which was the Office of the United States Trustee, which examines bankruptcy debtors who file bankruptcy, obviously, to get the relief from the court. But he had so many death threats because he was such a miserable, rotten character.
Sort of like the Spitz.
Much like the Spitz. When he got caught, nobody could believe that.
With his pants down?
He got caught with his pants down. Yeah. In fact, there was a judge there. There was another trustee who happened to also be, a judge on Long Island.
Oh, God.
And he caught him. He said, put your pants up.
Oh, my God.
As a lovely young
But you were saying about the
lovely young Asian girl.
You were saying about the death threats, though.
Death threats against, in other words,
bottom line, he was in a place that he shouldn't have been because.
Well, he wasn't supposed to be there because it was supposed to be.
Secured.
It was supposed to be secure and whatnot. And
sort of like the Spitz.
Yeah. Well, what happened was that the Atlantic Bankruptcy Court in Brooklyn had granted him permission to conduct his trustee business in the courthouse so that people who would appear before him had to go through metal detectors.
That's right.
Because of the death threats. But when he was going to get his fellatio with one of his debtors, or even regardless, whoever it may be, could have been his wife. He was using federal property to do that.
He shouldn't have been there.
Well, he shouldn't have been there to begin with, because how do you argue that it's not safe for you to be somewhere to conduct official business, but it's safe for you to be there to have a love affair?
Well, you know, there you go.
I mean, this is the bizarre thing about it. And then he's threatened all kinds.
Well, Jim McGreevy, they used to drop, the state troopers used to drop McGreevy off at these locations. And he used to tell the state troopers, come back in 30 minutes. They'd say, but the governor, you're the governor. And he would say, this is what's going to happen.
Well, this is why.
He'd go into his restroom in the Jersey Turnpike or the Garden State Parkway. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm telling you, the Gelberg story, I can't help but think about it when I hear about this story.
And what happened to Gelberg?
What happened was ultimately everybody was waiting for, you know, Gelberg had threatened the whole system. He threatened everybody. And he was like Spitzer was. For 20 years he had acted like Spitzer has acted in his career. And he was Attila LaHun. He was, you know, the most, you know, the cleanest guy, beyond reproach. And he reacted in such a manner that he said, this is ludicrous. These charges lodged against me. Even though there's two eyewitnesses that saw me put, you know, getting fellatio and then put my pants up, of course. That's all not true. And ultimately, he wouldn't let go of his position in order to negotiate saving his law license and probably not being thrown in jail. And he resigned ultimately, but he was fighting it. And the other day when I heard this story on Monday, I was
strikingly familiar, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the television after court. I stopped into a cafe and had a bite to eat, and I said, what goes on up there? It must be like a joke. Then it's not even that long.
And if you took the two, I've seen this this Gelberg character's picture before, and you take the Spitz's picture and put them side by side, they could be like cousins.
Well, they could be like cousins and blood brothers.
Yeah.
But the idea, and I wouldn't be surprised, I wouldn't be shocked if they knew each other.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing I want you to know, I want you listeners or want the blank space out there to know, is that...
you never know.
Well, you never know. But Geltzer, that's another story, little Bobby Geltzer, we'll get to him later. But right now...
I don't know how safe it is to be
Well, we have to treat, you know, we're here, we're lawyers, we're in the system, we work in the law. And
the big Gel...
We have to be able to let people know what's out there. So anyway, Gelberg, let me just finish. Gelberg ultimately had to resign. But he uses his position as a negotiating chip in order to not embarrass the Office of the United States Trustee. I think with the Spitz, I think, you know, on Monday when I saw this all go down, I said, he's not resigning. He's going to pull a Gelberg. The Spitz is pulling a Gelberg, which is not to resign, to stand in total, help me, Tom, you know, to just disregard every...
Ignore it.
Out for 3 days.
Bill Clinton, he drafted the playbook.
The audacity to resign effective Monday. What is that?
Well, according, that was Governor D. Patterson's request.
I don't think so. I think Spitzer had to get back to Albany and check his desk.
I don't know.
Go into the basement of the governor's mansion and get his pornographic material. He's a sick cookie.
You know, I've listened to other broadcasts, and the idea has been raised that this is, he's a self-destructive, self-deprecating individual for the reasons that are unknown, but he's done this to himself for a reason.
Well, you know, I tell you, the funny thing is that, like many people have said, you know, they think that this is psychologically subconscious, and it's he wanted to get caught, and everybody said that about Gilbert, too. And I really think, my hard thought on this is that they really don't think they can get away with
no.
it.
No, right, you're right.
They don't want to get caught. Nobody wants to get caught, let's face it.
This is a guy.
They thought that they could pull this stunt and pull it off.
This guy,
both of them.
This is a guy who shut down major organizations. He destroyed millionaires' lives. He took out people left and right, and he wreaked havoc on many people who came across his path. And he showed no mercy.
I mean, it's not to say that it's not okay. It is okay for an attorney general of the state or for a governor to go after crime and go after, you know,
who is out there?
Corruption. But the idea is that in this particular case, you have to remember this is going back a decade, which means he's been doing this for years and years.
2000. They said 2002.
So if you have a crazy habit like this, there's nothing wrong with it. We all have crazy habits, but perhaps you shouldn't be prosecuting brothels if you're shutting down brothels. And you shouldn't be attorney general of the state of New York. Get another job. You should be the editor of Penthouse or.
He has a half a billion dollars, so it's not like
his father has a half a billion dollars.
It's not like he needs the work.
He lives in a building.
It's not like he needs the work.
The father owns the building on Fifth Avenue. You know, but the idea is that to put your family at risk.
Not only that, but what kind of diseases? He's got little girls. You know, he's kissing these people, or whatever, and then he's going back to his home and kissing. Oh my God!
I mean, he's
ladies and gentlemen.
Look, I'm a single guy, so for me, it's one thing. I can go and do what every single guy can do. When you take the oath, or the sacrament, whatever they call it, I mean, of marriage, you gotta have some accountability, no?
It's what Grover Cleveland said. You're given the responsibility of the public's trust.
Yeah, but you know, even before you get to all that, isn't he married? Isn't he a unit in a marriage?
But that could be explained because
Jewish American.
I don't know. That's irrelevant. But
well, she's the
I don't know what.
I believe she's a Southern Baptist. So I don't know if they were married by a rabbi and a priest, or a priest and a rabbi, or by quite frankly anybody.
Well,
it doesn't matter. You know.
But that's not the issue though. He wasn't thrown out of the governor's mansion because of an affair. I mean, Giuliani had an affair while...
It's not about an affair.
Well, right.
This is about money laundering.
Well, this is the problem. This is a guy who took $80,000 of cold hard cash and was wiring it around and then taking people and throwing allegedly. Not allegedly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't seen the hard evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been... in the Eastern and Southern District of New York. No, that's not a call. That's the wrong kind of caller. We got. How do you stop that?
This is
a live broadcast. We're
bring a client in and we have a third microphone?
No, we're not going to start.
I'm a Yankee fan client here, I'm sure.
No. Don't do this. I'm trying to have fun here. No, please, no. All right, anyway, this is the Tom Farinella Show. We're going to have to de-mic Gus now. He's got to take care of some... Don't do this, though. What do you do this for?
Well,
I'm trying to. This is not about the
real radio.
Yeah, this is not a joke. You can close the door now and go take care of your meeting.
Okay. Say goodbye to the audience.
You can come back if you want by yourself. Nobody else.
I appreciate the opportunity of appearing. And
all right.
Again, like I said before, I think that the biggest thing that Spitzer did wrong here was to his own family.
Well, yeah. It's not a chargeable crime. I mean, yeah.
I think most politicians have extramarital affairs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they should because they're so powerful.
Outrageous because he has three young girls.
Yeah, most of these guys haven't...
Then again, Bill Clinton had his daughter, Chelsea.
Yeah, but you know...
I'm going to step away. Get a couple
when you, of... When you take up with a problem... I don't know. The whole thing is gross. And then the worst part about it is...
People don't think that sex, money for money, or money for sex, they don't think that...
That's so degrading.
It is degrading, but you know what? The bottom line is that this married man with three young daughters.
But yet, it's like, you know,
Fifth Avenue has everything you could possibly want.
It's like your kid can't play baseball or he can't play soccer, so you buy the soccer team and make the kid a star. You know what I mean? That's what goes. These guys who wouldn't get any of the girls, they.
But he had a real career.
No, but
he really did. He couldn't. And he really did accomplish things as Attorney General, and he might have been able to accomplish things as governor.
Well, actually, on the rate he was going, this is probably a better result because.
Well, this probably was the best thing.
And he was telling people that they effing steamrolled them.
Do you think that he and his wife were sexually involved or no? I mean, I don't know. She not.
He's a pervert.
I have to say that he wasn't she wasn't performing at home.
I don't think that she's done nothing wrong. And even if she didn't perform at home, who can blame her? Look at him.
She's a Southern Belle.
Who can, you know, if you look
she's
at... But people marry people for... Look at Bill and Hillary. Do you think they actually like each other? You think they ever like each other?
I don't know what goes on there. That's crazy, but...
They never like each other.
This is why I don't like...
They forced each other to spawn a reproduction of...
This is why public office is meant for people who are really white.
That's the problem. You're not going to have any more... As soon as there'll be no more politicians. Even Obama, who thought was perfect, has a $500,000 home that he was somehow able to buy with some guy who's got, like...
Well, don't get on Obama now. I mean, don't compare Obama to these other criminals. Obama's not...
No.
He's not... That doesn't have...
No.
I mean, you look at McCain, who's about to croak, and you look at Hillary, who's about to croak. I mean, at least Obama, we know, would be around in 4 years. So...
Yeah, but look at the guy who just got... just indicted on 26 counts. Obama's good friend.
Good. That's good.
Ministers telling...
And the governor of New York is being indicted, and they say he's going to walk. So what's the big deal?
Spitzer's not going to walk.
Going to walk.
No, I don't think he's going to walk.
They're talking about that he might... I saw Raul Felder on TV. Good old Raul. He's getting old, too.
He does divorces.
Yeah, but he knows he's exactly... He sold him, I called him. But he...
You think Silva's going to call... You know, actually, I heard an interesting point. The mother, his mother-in-law, a reporter asked whether or not they forgiven Elliot. And she replied, haven't you... What more do you people want from us? There's always so much love to give, right? You should annoy, you know, yes.
It's a lot.
And you know what bothers me about this whole thing? Everybody's so forgiving. Chuck Schumer and Hillary, everybody has sympathy. Sympathy. But guess what? Ask any one of the big Spitz's victims that he maligned and deformed their lives forever.
Yeah, but were they criminals?
Some were.
That's the interesting.
Because the ones who weren't, As Attorney General, he prosecuted approximately 25% of the cases. Because what ended up happening is he twists the you know what, twist the nuts of the defendant, whether it was a corporation or whoever.
He filed every defense counsel in
the. And you know what? You know what he did?
Secret.
You know what? Because he knew exactly who to go to. That's a whole other issue.
I want to ask you, do you think there's like a whole other layer of this that hasn't even been uncovered yet?
There usually is.
With
Clinton, the dress came out and it broke, right? It broke that you know, there was proof on a dress that it seemed was there, affair established.
Right.
But what would unfold? The magic cigar, the oral sex during conversations with high-ranking members of the Armed Services Committee, Representative Dan Burton, while they're trying to figure out what to do with the troops in Somalia. I mean, you know, the magic cigar. It was marinated with Monica's vagina.
Well, is it true?
And he smoked it.
Obama's pastor mimicking, I think it was Reverend White, mimicking Bill Clinton, performing.
But you see, the problem was, and do you remember?
Be monitored by the FCC?
Well, I would try to keep. No. Well, the content should be relatively clean.
He was doing that's, you know, he was banging.
He was gyrating. He was doing a gyration.
He was doing it from the behind.
But the problem is somebody needs to correct the pastor because one of the big problems was that Bill had an intimacy problem and he didn't want to finish. He would make her stop before he finished.
Okay.
Well, he's out of it. Yeah, I mean, you know what? This
is true.
Eventually he did.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, eventually.
Maybe his dresses turn him off.
Well, perhaps
his wife never wears a dress.
I know.
You may know she was wearing pantsuit. Maybe that's why she doesn't want the word.
Have we ever seen Hillary in a? Wait, I think
it's dress. I don't think I've
ever
seen her down. I mean, she's been to so many inaugurations, but
the inauguration.
Dennis swearing in. I mean, do you ever see such criminals get sworn in all the time? I mean.
Well, look at the guy from the guy from Detroit. The guy from Detroit.
Love him. He said the word nigger, and he said that the death threats are incredible. He's been called this word so many times in the last 30 days, more than an entire life.
But
guess what? He's probably telling you the truth. But at the end of the day, what matters is he doing his job?
No. Apparently, they're now investigating him for having a stripper at a party that was paid for by his office.
But if a regular guy can go to a party with a stripper, why can't a governor, or a mayor, or a president? You know, Elliot Spedding, the Spitz, the issue here is, a stripper's a stripper. I think strippers are illegal. I don't think prostitutes are, number one. Number two, if he wasn't shipping people across state lines.
Are you paying for travel? Pay for
Elliot.
Well, he
wasn't doing that in that day.
The Reverend, or the mayor.
Is it Chuck Hall? Where was he?
Detroit.
But
he's got a litany of problems. This is one very small problem of about eight.
It's almost like you have like Marion Barry and Ed Koch.
Well, yeah, he's the guy that convicted of possession of crack, and you know, he was reelected.
Yeah, because if you remember, we had Marion Barry with
And they had the whole. Remember the smoke?
Koch was the most corrupt administration in history.
Yeah, everybody in the Koch administration was indicted but him.
A Jewish mayor, and
everybody hired.
Black mayor, a Jewish mayor, black mayor, and it's interesting in this campaign they're talking about how the Jewish vote and the black vote is so important, and how the Jewish people and the black people have to sit down and talk. Well, again, here we have a couple of mayors around the country that are at task. We have the Spitz. Who's getting in trouble? We have Obama that we need to elect.
And everybody forgets.
but
the big spit.
Maybe they should sit down. Maybe the Baptists and the blacks, the power that they should sit down with the rabbis.
This show is not about solutions, because there ain't no solution.
But you will notice, though, in the media right now, it's not the Protestant white male like Bush that's in trouble here. We have some black mayors. We have some white.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Generals.
You're right.
I have my own, you know, I'm a minority status myself.
Well,
this is not about you.
This is not about your therapy session.
I'm a racist by mentioning the word black.
He's really
the word Protestant or the word WASP.
But you're not saying in the context that's derogatory.
No,
the reality is.
But should the Jews and the blacks sit down and talk about this and say, hey,
talk about what?
Talk about straightening out the societal woes, which
there are societal woes. A few bad apples spoil the bunch.
No, but I'm talking about in the context of the election.
Oh,
it's separating the Democratic Party.
But don't you understand
She's always apologizing to the Jews. She's always apologizing to the Blacks.
Well, Obama has people resigning. Hillary has people. Everybody's resigning everywhere.
Why did Hillary just resign? It's a tough scenario.
Everybody's going everywhere. You got Obama's guy resigning. Wait till McCain gets into the fray. As soon as you say something that's even borderline, you're going to be called. You're going to be called a racist.
I got to run, all right, Tom?
Or a woman hater.
I have a couple of clients here, so now I have to go back into my objective mode. And I never let my clients know what my political affiliation is.
No, he just says hi. I'm Gus.
Hi, can I have the money?
I'm voting for Obama.
Yeah, hi. Time to make the donuts.
I make donuts all the time.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You can come back if you throw those people out fast enough. We have
like
36 minutes left
of
the Tom Farinella broadcast. Well, you know, the problem is.
Give your number
it's 347-326-9037. If you're listening online, you just click and call me. Let me know what you have to say.
I'll make a few calls and see if anybody's out there.
There's a lot of people out there. The question is, are they listening? Chances are no. All right, thank you very much for joining us. That's Gus Farinella, the Legal Eagle. Extraordinaire. Oh, my God, 15 years.
Obama or McCain, one or the other.
Not Hillary. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
I think that Obama's...
We're screwed.
I think that you,
Obama... No, who goes there? We're screwed.
We definitely got screwed.
Whoever gets there.
I think that Obama is the one that we need right now. I think we need youth, and we need energy. And I think he's got youth, energy, and he's educated. Rich white male.
You just said, though, it's the only people that aren't being indicted and thrown under the bus are the white males.
That's what I meant. I just meant that the tides do change. The Bush administration's been under attack. Bill Clinton's under attack for years. This is a little bit of a different crowd right now. What I'm suggesting...
Well, it's kind of hard not to be attacked, but one guy
is... What I'm suggesting is, and I really need to finish your thought, it's hard, because it's complicated stuff people don't realize. Because they will listen and they will think that I'm a racist. Which, you know, it's really not true. What the issue here is, if you know what the difference between is based on Bill Clinton's talking.
Got to parse it.
You know, Tom.
Break it down.
You have a Congress made up of House of Representative members that have, you said, a median income of $600,000, and they're probably 50% to 80% all white people. And if you go into the Senate chamber, you said they were making an average or a median.
Approximately $2 million.
$2 million. And what I mean, if you check out the female to male population proportion and, you know, and the minority status or proportion, talk to me. I mean, who's making the $600,000 a year in the House of Representatives, $2 million a year in the Senate?
They all are, though.
The Senate.
Well, there's about the, I don't even, the black senators.
I
don't think there are any black senators. I don't think there's one black senator.
There's not?
Think about it.
Obama.
Oh, duh.
Obama.
That was a bad brain freeze.
Well, Obama's not necessarily black, depending on how you look.
Well, that's
a lot of black people who aren't close to
right,
that,
maybe that's what it was. But other than him, who else is there?
I don't know. But the idea there was, that it's all rich white males.
Wasn't it Susan Jackson Lee?
No, she's
a house. Karen Mosley Braun was the...
She was in the Senate, was she?
Was she?
I don't know, but I have to run. Maybe.
No.
Let me take a break.
One of those...
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you for...
Show,
thank you for...
I really enjoyed it.
Great, yeah, it was...
The studio is phenomenal.
But the truth of the matter is, any studio we've ever broadcast at, they've never been anything worthwhile. It's not like this...
Well, I mean, you've sat in Bob Grant.
Yeah, that was a dump of a dump, the old WOR.
Yeah, it was a dump.
The new one, even now, I've been...
I mean, you know, you think about a guy like Bob Grant on the air for all those years.
The microphone...
His influence counted, he used it, right? Say, well, if his influence counted around here, and he used it, he wouldn't have this...
Remember the microphone?
The microphone was barely off of the...
Well, at the time, too, you purchased that air. You bought that airtime.
Well, I paid for the production. We had that, what did you have the guy, the...
Rick Sansone.
Rick Sansone. I wonder what he is.
He's with Warren Epstein.
He probably got hit by a bus or something.
Oh, God forbid. You're
walking before.
All right. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll let you get back to your political banter.
I'm not bantering. I'm actually, there's nothing to banter about. It's over. Don't you say that the new world order is coming, and what it's going to be is nothing. I mean, between McCain, Obama, and Billary,
yeah.
You know, we're screwed. Ladies and gentlemen, start packing. Cuba is going to be a much better place. Mexico, at least Chavez protects the border, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there we go. That was Gus Michael Farinella. And we're really great to have him on the show. But it's true. If you're giving us a call, you can call us at 347-326-9037. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Program, the most intriguing talk, most intriguing broadcast in America. And, you know, I signed on for my hour, and I always do it just before the time begins. 3 minutes before 6 or 5 minutes before 6, and I figured out the system so well that I was able to pop it up and just do it. And, you know, this is like my therapy. It really is. Even though I may not be talking to anybody because nobody's calling, if you want to give us a call and start talking so I don't feel so lonely, 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. 9037, and what you know, it's like my therapy session, therapy. But, you know, looking at these candidates from a very objective viewpoint, and I could say it from an objective standpoint, because I have no dog in this fight. I have no interest in Obama. I have no interest in McCain. I have no interest in Hillary. But, I mean, if I had to rate them, I could rate them, but I have no interest in them. They don't do anything for me. They are useless in every sense of the word. They really are. They are, I think they're dangerous for America. I think all three of them are, to an extent. I mean, the least dangerous is McCain. The most dangerous at the time is Hillary and Obama. Or I should say Barack Hussein, Obama. So the question remains, you know, whether or not we're able to, it's useless, you know what I'm saying? It's futile, because the reality is that at the end of the day, I think that the country stands to lose a lot with such a poor choice of elected officials. And with the Spitzer situation and every other political fallout that has occurred, you see it. You just see it. The choice of leadership and the ability to have a competent, coherent, logical leader is becoming harder and harder. And there really aren't going to be people to fill these positions anymore, and it's going to end up being a drudgery, just an absolute debacle, a train wreck. And unless we do something about it, it is virtually impossible for us to be able to, you know, unless the people come up and just do something about it, there's no hope. And until we have a populace that is actually proactive rather than reactive. And what does that mean? It means that basically people don't do anything, say anything, or get involved until they have a reason to. And that should not be the standard. The standard should be that you're out there working, you're voting, you care about what happens because you care. And the reality is that's not what's going on out there. People are reactive. It's that. Sometimes people don't even react. Sometimes people just let things go. And I don't know what to say. You know, I am certainly out of answers. And I'm out of answers for this reason. It defies any sense of what I've come to know as I've gone from my early 20s to my 30s now. Now I understand why people are miserable old men. You know, you start out life and you're so inspired by something or somebody, and you go out and you try so hard, and then the world that you are in knocks you around from every direction. It challenges you in ways that you never expected, and it beats the hell out of you. And then you try to make sense of it, and you get knocked back down again. And you say, what the hell is this all worth? And it seems as if, unless you have a mission, like Hillary or Obama, you know, many people end up lost. And I think that's what it is. Like George W. Bush always said, it's hard. It's hard to be a successful person. It's not easy to go out there and make a success of your life. You struggle. You try to do everything you can. And sometimes you make it and sometimes you don't. And it's very difficult to look back and not be overly impressed with what's been going on, because, you know, it's overwhelming, isn't it? It's very overwhelming. All you want to do is just go out and wake up and have a nice life and try to just do the best you can, and it doesn't always work out that way. Something just goes a little wrong, and it sets off something in you, and then you can't get back. And life is complicated like that. Obama, Hillary, John McCain are going to resolve any of these issues? They're going to make any of these types of things that real people deal with on a daily basis go away by throwing free, money? We'll give you health care. Free health care, free this, free that. What does that do? How does that solve? Because the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, a government, an elected official, they are never, ever going to give you what you need. The only person that can give you really what you need yourself. You've got to look inside your own mind and be proud of what you've done and what you've accomplished and or not. You become your own judge, not some government to give you hope and to give you vision. No. Inspiration is never going to come from the government, especially the government that was produced, that's there now. Look at these people. 535 members of Congress, and look at them. This is the strongest military, strongest country in the world, the most powerful, the richest country, and this is what we have to show for it. You have a handful of good members, but on a whole, it's uninspiring. You know, I was listening to another great talk show host, and she was saying, why don't we talk about something else? Talk about people who sacrifice their lives for everything, who ask for nothing in return. Instead, we're focused on the stripper, or prostitute. I mean, now she's going to be offered something in Penthouse, and she'll never have another financial worry again because this is what she's chosen. She's aspiring songstress with her ridiculous site on MySpace. Where is that stupid?
Let's see. What's her name?
I wouldn't be surprised if MySpace took a gallery. You're not going to be able to probably find it. The MySpace hooker. I mean, who cares at this point? Where are the good people who are saving the world? Help saving people. It's never pointed out. Never will be pointed out. American people aren't interested. And at the end of the day, what are we left with? We're left with a very shallow shell, an empty shell of a country. It's bleak, I know that, but how can it be anything less? Hold on. And so that's what it is. This has been a very daunting show. If you want to give us a call, please give us a call. You have the phone number, right? It's 347. We'll see if we can get you on the air. We have something to say. We have something to add to this. Anyway, so the egomaniacal Spitzer goes down. Barack and Hillary are in a massive civil war. And you wonder, you just wonder. What's this broad's name even? Kristen. The hooker. Photos of a hooker. Kristen Dupre. Let's see the Kristen Dupre. Kristen Dupre. A hooker. It leads to the demise of the most powerful man in New York. Takes him right out. The spits has been spat. Shakeably. Obama. Where's Oprah lately, too, by the way? Has Oprah gone into hiding because her ratings have dropped another 100%, another 10 shares? Because she's chosen to because she's chosen to,
where is it? MySpace. No, I just got MySpace.com.
And of course, you can hear a loudmouth in the background. He just needs to still be loud. Let's see. Kristen Dupre. Let's see if we can get her. The Spitzer Scandal.
Where is it? Oh, I guess you can't. I guess you're not going to find it, huh? Nope.
I guess you're not going to find it, so. I thought that somebody had it. Nope. Can't find it. Top right, I'll show you that.
Hi, welcome to Hobo. This is Chris Matthews. Tonight we have a very special show for you because we got the only female candidate who got jumped by all the boys in the last presidential debate, Hillary Clinton. Presidential candidate Clinton, welcome to Hobo. It was true that the men became butter boys when they attacked you, the only woman, after the birds?
If all that were proven true, I think that would be a very serious offense.
Wow, holy cow. Man, what an answer. So, let us know, are you all on the same team or what? It's how Dean got you guys going crazy trying to go after you and drop an ambush and bomb out your campaign.
You know, I just want our country to start having a conversation where people start talking to each other again and where we are listening to each other and where we try to solve the problems we have because we have a lot of big problems. Yeah. And we can do it. I mean, there's no reason we can't. I mean, we're able to do anything we put our minds to it, but it requires everybody sort of working together and coming together about it.
I know. Can't we just all get along? I agree with you, Senator Clinton. My God. Holy Katrina. What are they thinking? Why is this happening to you?
This vast right-wing conspiracy that has been...
Oh, no. Not that again. I thought we got rid of that a long time ago. So... tell us what it is that you think is the best way to handle this up-and-coming debate.
I think it's been very unfortunate that, you know, after 9/11, the entire country was united and the entire world was really on our side, with, you know, few exceptions of the bad guys who everybody was against. And we've lost a lot of that, and we need to regain it because we'll do better if we have people rooting for us. And if we're all trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with health care and energy and all the rest of the issues at home. So I think we've missed some opportunities the last couple of years, but that's retrievable. We just need to put our mind to it.
Man, all the people who ran for president sound just to sound that good. You're so great. You're smartest woman in the world. So one last question, because I know you're short on time, and we so appreciate you coming here and having Chris Master, sorry, got a frog in my throat. I have the smartest woman in the world. They're here with Chris Matthews and Hobo. Anyway, Madam First Lady, great senator from New York. One last question. Here we go. What do you think about Oprah? Is this such a tragedy? Oh, man. Oh, this is Chris Matthews. Thank you so much, Senator Clinton, for coming on. You're the greatest woman in the world. Anyway, next, coming up, right here in Hobo with Chris Matthews, presidential candidate. Shouldn't they just put themselves all year round and that's just some Halloween? Hobo!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Tom Farinelli Show. Got to turn that mic back on. TapTalk.com is the website. Tom at TapTalk.com is the email. 347-326-9037 if you want to be part of the program. We just have about 11 minutes left here in the show. It's about 10 minutes to the hour. 7 o'clock here on a Friday in New York. Yes, indeed. This is the almighty, wonderful Tom Farinelli Show. The Tom Farinelli Radio Program. And I keep on repeating things because, yes, all of a sudden, I've just become extremely tired. But anyway, this is definitely my therapy session. I feel much better now that I've gotten all that off my chest about the spits. The spits has been spat. And what does it all mean, like we just discussed? Not very much, right? So that's why it's important for you to go out there, wake up every day, and just be thankful for what we have, not what we don't have. And you never know what tomorrow will bring. You know, we just got to be appreciative of where we are today. And that, you know, whatever your faith is, or whatever your the foundation is that you rely on whatever the foundation is that you try to draw on to get you through things, you just need to hang on to it and keep true to yourself as best as you can. Because it's very apparent that at the end of the day, you can't look to an elected official to help you with a single thing. They're not even capable of maintaining their duty, which is the public's trust, and they can't even maintain that obligation. They fail themselves. They fail their families. That's okay because we all fail. But then go into something else because people deserve better. The elected people of New York deserve better than what they got with this governor. They deserve better than what the country deserved better than what it got with Bill Clinton. and with every other president or elected official that has disgraced their office, okay? I'm not one to sit in judgment of anything or anybody, but don't go into a position where you're going to be highly scrutinized and end up, you know, where a guy like Spitzer is. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But he needed to be governor. You can't be governor and you can't hire prostitutes. They are mutually exclusive. If you want to be involved in that kind of, you know, lifestyle and dealing with those types of people, then you need not be governor. We are lacking people in this world who we can look up to and be inspired by. This is a guy who's supposed to clean up Albany. Looks like Albany cleaned him out, right? He sure as heck was cleaned out. He's probably, you know, there's been a couple of times I sat back and I said to myself, oh, God, it must be brutal for him. I'm sure he's not going back to his office to clean it out. But then I said, well, I'm sure he needs to oversee. Well, maybe not, maybe so. I don't know, but it has to be brutal. It has to be hard. And I've disappointed myself on occasions in ways that I never imagined. But I don't think to the level where it cost me, like it's cost Mr. Spitzer. I think it's just been an absolutely devastating nightmare. You know what? There was one story I did want to talk about. Did you hear about? Oh, here it is. A woman spent 2 years sitting on her boyfriend's toilet bowl. That's right, in Wichita. A 35-year-old woman who apparently spent two years in her boyfriend's bathroom in Ness City. She became stuck to the seat, and it was a big procedure. But think about, we live in a world where a man will allow somebody to sit on his toilet bowl for 2 years. What kind of, where are we? 2 years! He sat on the toilet bowl. She sat on his toilet bowl for 2 years. Holy Christmas. I mean, it's like, I don't think, again, you know, when you hear things like this, it's like when Spitzer, if somebody came up to me and said, I will give you $1 million to one, that Governor Spitzer will be forced to resign because he's going to be involved in a very, very bad scandal. You know, I would say, please. Are you kidding me? Whatever. And look what happened. Look what happened. He's done. I would have lost a million to one bet. I wouldn't have bet a dollar. Somebody came up to me and said that you hear a story that a woman sat on her boyfriend's toilet bowl for 2 years. First of all, the title of the story, woman spent 2 years sitting on boyfriend's toilet. Okay, well, I think the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship may have dissolved after the first 6 months that he let her sit there. Well, how about the first week? The first week that he was there, that she stayed there. I think anybody that allows a girlfriend to stay on a toilet bowl for more than a week, I don't mean to laugh, but do you see how insane the world has become? The world has become madder than ever. And I am so overwhelmed by things that go on in society that I don't know what is next. You know, it's hard to be, I try to be optimistic, but it's hard. It's really hard. I mean, what's the 21st century? We have people who allow their girlfriends to sit on their toilet bowl for 2 years, and a newspaper article still refers to the person as their girlfriend or boyfriend. Bizarre. It's bizarre and getting more bizarre. But that's why I'm here, the Tom Farinella radio program, to make sense of it. This is a show that brings common sense to the table. And this is a show for people who just get it. The Tom Farinella radio show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. Caftalk.com. Tom at Caftalk.com. If you want to call us, we have 3 minutes left to go. 347-326-9037. We'd be happy to have you on the program. And that's where we're at. The world has gone into a place that is very difficult to explain. It's upside down. And it's very difficult to make sense of these days. That's why you have to have a higher being, a higher something that you believe in. But that's about the only thing that won't let you down. And that's what I encourage all of you to do today. Go out there and find something or someone to believe in and make a life around it. Because it certainly is not going to be an elected official. I can tell you that much. It's not going to be a politician. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and John McCain, they're all so close. Together, they're unrecognizable. Their differences are very, very small. Their differences are very small. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So the difference is
and now, Tom Farinella.
All right, everybody. This has been the Tom Farinella program. We thank Gus Farinella for coming on. Thank you, Gus. We should have just called it the Gus Farinella Half Hour. I am Tom Farinella. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America for people who just get it. That's right. Join us here next time as we cover something with my unique critique. What is that? I gotta go, everybody. See you later. Bye-bye.
I lost my place.
Her legs on my shoulder, I knew it. Whoa! I hit those rubber bands!
Johnny was gasping, my jeans full of drops. And they're ready for shows.
I didn't know where I was there.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell? And further, gotten on the wrapping bar, so we're learning. Everyone have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, the replay is coming up. If you missed the first hour of the show, we will have it for you after the news from ABC. FM 107.1, Living the Life Out Loud.